Hey, everybody, this episode is brought to you by my friends at ExpressVPN, expressvpn.com/Charlie. Secure your device, anonymize your online activity, protect your action online, expressvpn.com/Charlie. Help our show out by also helping yourself protect yourself, expressvpn.com/Charlie. Hey, everybody. Today on the Charlie Kirk Show, Dr. Fauci, Bill Gates, the vaccine, emails, and more. We dive deep into the idea of a bureaucrat versus an entrepreneur. Who is actually calling the shots when it comes to public health in America? Things have changed, but who have they changed for the better? We go into that as well. Email us your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com. If you'd like to support our program, go to charliekirk.com/support. If you'd like to get involved with Turning Point USA, go to tpusa.com, where we play offense with a sense of urgency to win America's culture war. That's tpusa.com, tpusa.com. You can go to charliekirk.com for all the latest news and information. And again, I want to thank those of you that support us at charliekirk.com/support. I want to thank Greg from Iowa. I want to thank Tony from Wisconsin. I want to thank Maria from Mississippi. And I want to thank William from North Carolina, charliekirk.com/support. Thank you. And please consider supporting us so we can continue our mission here on our program. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
The school year is ending and families are making plans to send their kids to summer camp. But kids with a mom or dad in prison are often forgotten and overlooked. That's where Prison Fellowship's Angel Tree Camps come in. Hi, this is Charlie Kirk, and I'm partnering again this year with Prison Fellowship to send 163 kids to camp this summer. Their lives will never be the same, and neither will yours when you help send a kid to camp. A one-time donation of $200 provides a scholarship to send a kid to an Angel Tree summer camp where they can build a relationship with a caring camp counselor, hear the gospel, and experience the love of God in the great outdoors. If you have fond memories of a summer camp experience, you can help make a child have some of those best memories one can have. $200 sends one child to camp. Your donation of any amount will help. Call 888-206-2802. That's 888-206-2802. Or go to charliekirk.com to make your donation today. Help a kid go to summer camp, charliekirk.com. Well, we are going to keep on going into the Dr. Anthony Fauci emails. And we are going to go through this story. I have a story we are going to cover about the suburbs of Chicago and education and how our children are being canceled by their elders simply for wanting to start a Turning Point USA group at Glenbrook South High School. We're going to get into that. But before I get into the Dr. Fauci emails, which is the top news story and continues to be for good reason, I want to talk about the contrast between a bureaucrat and an entrepreneur. You see, for an entrepreneur to succeed, they must take a risk in the marketplace. They must sign on the dotted line. They must be willing to borrow money, manage people, prove value to others through voluntary exchange. An entrepreneur has to come up with an idea, make sure that's a good idea, get other people to buy into that idea. They must have a commitment to being daring, taking risks, being alert, going up against the odds and then doing it year after year after year. At its best, America has empowered entrepreneurs. At our best, we have become a culture that has allowed entrepreneurs to see an idea and improve the world around them. Now, this is in great contrast with the corporatist agenda that we have seen set in of the worshiping of Amazon, Google, and Facebook. Entrepreneurs are people that decide to disrupt the status quo. An entrepreneur is someone that always has to prove their value day after day. There is no failing upward for an entrepreneur. You see, for an entrepreneur, when they're in the marketplace, the way that they are judged, the way they are graded, the way they are promoted, the way they move up is by people voting with their dollars. Do you got a good idea? Are you doing it well? Are you treating me ethically? Do you get that product on time? Are you able to give me some value and I'll give you some value in exchange? Entrepreneurs are an outgrowth of a constitutional republic. Constitutional republic has a couple attributes. Independent judiciary, consent of the governed, checks and balances, and representation in the body politic through representatives like congressmen and senators. A constitutional republic that allows private property, allows entrepreneurs to flourish, to succeed, to build exciting and ambitious new projects. We as conservatives should embrace entrepreneurs, believe in them, invest in them. But unfortunately, our country is not being run by entrepreneurs. As we rightly platform an entrepreneur, we must contrast that with the person that is now in the midst of the number one news story in the country. You see, a bureaucrat has a completely different worldview than an entrepreneur. A bureaucrat is rewarded not by being creative, but instead being clever. A bureaucrat is not promoted by having a good idea and taking a risk and doing something better. They're promoted by being loyal to the monolith and the machine. A bureaucrat does not get to the top of NIH or the IRS by being wise. Instead, they're willing to be ruthless. You see, because we have allowed this outgrowth, the fourth branch of government, to grow with very little check and balance at all, which I believe has been one of the most unconstitutional outgrowths in American history, this unregulated, unchecked, unknown albatross of a bureaucracy. We lose what's right in front of us, which is we are being governed by people that do not wake up every single day asking themselves, how do I produce value? How do I move the world in a direction that keeps human beings closer to flourishing and living quiet and peaceable lives? And Dr. Fauci embodies the bureaucrat better than anyone I've ever seen. For the rest of my life, when I teach students and when I talk about what it means to be someone who is unelected, unknown, unchecked, with unlimited amounts of power, Dr. Anthony Fauci is that man. No one voted for him. He did not persuade people to give him power. He didn't start a business that moved the world in a direction that was meaningful. He didn't start a business. He didn't run a restaurant. He didn't have to value customers. Instead, Dr. Anthony Fauci was willing to do whatever it was necessary by failing upwards, which is how you get on top in Washington, D.C., which means you get really good at covering things up. You become an expert at not answering questions directly. You become really good at getting funding and peppering it around to the right crony groups. You can run a master class in public corruption. And so as we go through these Dr. Anthony Fauci emails, we must understand that Fauci will be removed. Similar to General Tukhachevsky under Joseph Stalin, and I could do a whole episode on Joseph Stalin. We actually had a fun dinner about that last night. We talked about Stalin, who I consider to be the most perplexing of all autocrats. I study autocrats in my free time, which actually I encourage all of you to do. Study autocrats. You'll learn a lot about humanity. The good guys, I got that. That's fun to study too. I like studying evil because then I know how to defeat it. Just like General Tukhachevsky, he just wakes up one day and gets removed off the chessboard. It's very similar to Dr. Fauci. But Dr. Fauci will be replaced. He'll be replaced by another ambitious, clever, amoral bureaucrat. A younger version of Dr. Fauci, who's willing to lie, cheat, and steal at a higher level. And so Dr. Fauci is merely a symptom of the albatross of the fourth branch of government. And it should stun no one that Dr. Fauci was lying about everything from masks to the origin of the virus. And we're going to go through it in great detail. But this beautiful document that is the framework, the compact, the promise, the partnership of our country, the Constitution of the United States, never allowed for this form of a civil service bureaucracy to have this much power. And the reason why Dr. Fauci has been so untouchable is he's done this under the pretense of public health. I'm here to save your life. The great philosopher Plato wrote about a category of rulers called philosopher kings, people that will run the world because they know more than you do. Aristotle found this idea to be reprehensible and disgusting, and I agree. People that are closer to the clouds, people that know more about how the world works. But the problem with that is people like Dr. Fauci will never want to give up that power, and they will merely serve their interests. What is going on with Bill Gates? Why is Bill Gates so fascinated with vaccinating the entire world? Is there something behind Bill Gates' newly announced divorce? What are the motives behind Bill Gates? Why is Bill Gates acting as if he is the savior of the entire world behind his mass inoculation strategy? Now, there might be nothing there, but I do know this. I know that Dr. Fauci and Bill Gates doing anything together will probably make humanity suffer. Whatever that is, I don't like it. Because you have the mixture of the two types of people that I detest the most. You have a bureaucrat who failed upward and was willing to lie, steal, and cheat to get to the top level, the fourth branch of government. And you have a tech billionaire worth $150 billion that thinks if you just give me more power, the world's problems will be solved. You combine those two people, dual power activate, watch out, everybody. That is something that should be talked about and investigated. For many Americans, Father's Day is a day to celebrate. For many others, it's a day to get through. Because Father's Day hurts if you don't have a father. The facts are clear. Fatherlessness drives many bad outcomes in America, from teen pregnancy to incarceration. An astounding 85% of youth in prison come from fatherless homes, 20 times the national average. But there's a path forward from these grim statistics. That's why I urge you to order a powerful new film called The Streets Were My Father. It features the journey of three inner-city Chicago men from fatherlessness to gangs and from life in prison to prison ministry programs that set them on the road to redemption and lives as productive members of society. To see this important and inspirational film, the streaming versions and DVDs, and buy a copy or copies for anyone that you know that don't have a father or doesn't believe in the power of God to change lives. Go to SalemNow.com. That's SalemNow.com. Check it out. Why is it that Dr. Anthony Fauci has been talking to Bill Gates so much? What is Bill Gates' agenda? Do you trust Bill Gates? I'd love to hear your thoughts. Freedom@charliekirk.com. Do you want Bill Gates to be running the public health of your country? Well, that's basically what's happening. Bill Gates has made a bunch of money, obviously. And now he wants his next step in life to be micro-engineering the rest of the world to have mass vaccinations, mass inoculations, amongst many other things. Gates and Fauci talked in an email, quote, about a collaborative and hopefully synergistic approach to COVID-19. Why is Fauci talking to Gates? Is Gates a doctor? Is Gates a medical professional? No. Gates just has a lot of money. So why is it that Dr. Fauci is so communicative and working with Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, or more specifically, Bill Gates? In another email, the Gates Foundation director, Emilio Amini, expressed concerns over Fauci's health, considering his exposure and busy schedule, worrying about Fauci's well-being. Tucker Carlson had some words about that last night, and he said it best. Play tape.
The emails show that Tony Fauci speaks regularly to Bill Gates. That's odd. Bill Gates is not a doctor. Bill Gates is not a scientist. Bill Gates is a very rich man who made billions making mediocre software for office computers. So why would Tony Fauci be in such regular contact with Bill Gates? The term Bill Gates comes up more than 24 times when you search the Fauci emails. Has Bill Gates profited in any way from Tony Fauci's COVID guidance? That would definitely be worth knowing immediately.
Not to mention Bill Gates is spending tons of money on fake meat, artificial cheese, GMOs, replacing anything that resembles organic and real food. Now, we broke yesterday on this program, and I have not seen anyone, and obviously I don't see everything, kind of characterize this, but the drama that really unfolded was on January 31st and February 1st. That is, according to the emails, the first time Dr. Anthony Fauci was presented from his team to him, compelling evidence that this was manufactured in a lab. His team said, quote, "The features look potentially engineered, and it's inconsistent from evolutionary theory." And then Dr. Fauci sends this email in all caps, important, to Hugh Auchincloss, at 12:30 a.m. on Saturday. For a bureaucrat, you only work extra if you have something to cover up. Remember that. Bureaucrats only work in the middle of the night when they got dirty work to do. And then Hugh Auchincloss responded and said, "But look, I thought that we have no exposure to this," basically. I'm paraphrasing. So Fauci knew, his own scientists said that this was made in a laboratory. Why did Fauci say that it wasn't? Why did Bill Gates come up 30 times in the Fauci emails? And that doesn't even include the various nonprofits. This is from Jordan Satchel on Twitter, or Schottel, the nonprofits he controls. So what's really going on here? You have the head of the NIH, a chief bureaucrat, teaming up with the second wealthiest man in the world, or third wealthiest man in the world. Is that a republic? Is that consent of the governed? Did we give permission for this to happen? You might have bought Microsoft Windows. Beyond that, did you give Bill Gates the power and the authority to be making public health decisions? And then the people that run our media networks, they're somehow surprised that people have some vaccination hesitancy, that people are all of a sudden a little bit skeptical because you have one of the wealthiest people in the world and a pathological liar pushing the vaccine on the population. Maybe there's something there. Or maybe the American people are a lot more wise than Fauci and Gates. Maybe they have an agenda that they are trying to put in. Some of these emails were not allowed to be disclosed because they said only if it's pending in a current investigation. Is Dr. Fauci under current criminal investigation? Probably not, because Fauci has done the dirty work of the entire power-hungry left. Not to mention, Bill Gates is buying up all of our farmland in America. Bill Gates is pushing the entire world to, again, consume synthetic meat. Meanwhile, the world's number one meat processor in the world gets taken down by a cyber attack, JBS. But we're just supposed to believe this is all a coincidence. And just take the vaccine, everybody. If you don't, you're a terrible racist and you hate your neighbor. Is it time to stop renting and buy your first home? Owning your home is an investment in your future. And with today's low rates, now is the time to do it. Often with mortgage payment, it's the same as rent. So why pay for someone else's mortgage payment? Going through the mortgage process for the first time means you're going to have lots of questions. You need someone you can trust. I recommend Andrew and Todd at andrewandtodd.com. They are with Sierra Pacific Mortgage. These guys are honest, trustworthy professionals who can answer all of your questions and walk you through the entire process. They help first-time homebuyers and put the actual plan together. And because Andrew and Todd are bankers, not brokers, Andrew and Todd and their team personally work with you from the start to finish. You always have someone in your corner. I've heard amazing things about Andrew and Todd. So take the first step towards home ownership. You know you want to. Just go online and answer a few questions at andrewandtodd.com. That's andrewandtodd.com. If you guys are a mortgage, maybe you're looking to buy a home, do it while rates are low. Go to andrewandtodd.com, andrewandtodd.com. I want to get to, I think, cut 43 in just a second, but let me take a little bit of a sidebar here and just say something that I think is obvious, and it's not easy to say, but Dr. Fauci should have been fired immediately. Donald Trump did so much good for our country. He really did. But keeping Dr. Fauci around, I think, will go down as probably one of the biggest errors in governance of his presidency. And I don't think it's necessarily on him. I think that there were people around him that were urging and insisting Fauci to stay around. I think Trump thought he could win Fauci over. But here was the problem. And I actually sympathize with the president on this. I'm guessing, but my guess is that they didn't want to fire him and turn him loose into the public as if he was a martyr fired by Trump and all the people are dying because he wasn't around. But firing him could have been done a lot differently. Here's what should have happened, is that as soon as Dr. Fauci started to show his true colors, which was about the third word that he said, I remember I was sitting with Connor and Andrew, and I said, I don't trust that guy. I don't know who he is. I don't like him. Bureaucrat, head of a civil service agency, get him out. Is that, and the media also, by the way, propped up Fauci as the heir apparent of public health, as the chosen one, as the check against Donald Trump. And that very well should have told us that Fauci was going to be used as a plant against Donald Trump. Dr. Fauci was a sleeper cell for the Biden campaign within the White House. Dr. Fauci was an infiltration from the DNC. Forget Watergate and breaking into some office to try to get documents. No, no, this is much worse. This was putting the enemy into your own camp. So what is the right way? What would have been the statesman way to handle someone like Fauci? I don't think publicly firing him would have been good. I think it would have created a PR liability. Instead, I think Donald Trump should have said, you know what? We're not going to have one person running NIH. We're going to have six, and they're going to argue amongst each other, and they're going to have variety of opinion, and you are not going to be addressed. There, none of them are going to be in PR, and we're going to find someone that knows what they're doing and has no agenda, and they will talk about their consensus for them. And Dr. Fauci is no longer able to do public relations. At that moment, things would have changed. A team of rivals, similar to what Lincoln had, you would have had variety, and the scientific method actually would have then been used and employed. Instead, we allowed an autocracy of science. Whatever Fauci felt was right is what he said, and he ignored the advice of his own scientists within NIH. He ignored the instruction of his own scientists within NIH, where they said this was engineered and came from China, and it was not natural or organic. He knew. But the thing is, Fauci was the perfect person for this. He's an awful public health official, but that's not why Dr. Fauci was put to go run NIH. Remember what I said about a bureaucrat. A bureaucrat is willing to do the treacherous, the deceitful. You see, Dr. Fauci has the three qualities that I consider to be so damaging. He has resent, he's resentful, he's arrogant, and he has deceit. Dr. Jordan Peterson talks about that a lot. He runs NAIAD, by the way, under NIH. I just want to be very specific. Remember, Fauci opposed the China travel ban, and he praised the CCP's transparency. So let's go to cut 43 of Tucker Carlson on the possibility that Dr. Fauci is under criminal investigation. I don't want to get anyone's hopes up, because if it's D.C. investigating D.C., it's like saying Chris Cuomo is investigating Andrew Cuomo. Play tape.
Now, strangely, most of this specific email from Daszak to Fauci has been redacted, and it was redacted under FOIA Section B7A. That specific exemption to the FOIA law applies to, quote, records or information compiled for law enforcement purposes, but only to the extent that production of those documents could reasonably be expected to interfere with enforcement proceedings. Are Peter Daszak and Tony Fauci under criminal investigation? We can only hope they are. They certainly deserve it. At this point, we can't say for sure.
So what is Tucker saying there? Tucker is saying that FOIA, Freedom of Information Act, you're able to get emails and correspondence from your leaders in government agencies. However, with that being said, there are certain exemptions on how they can prevent those FOIAs from happening. One of them that was used was saying that, no, these other emails of Fauci that were not disclosed would interfere with an active criminal investigation. Is Fauci under criminal investigation? That's a question that if we had a media in our country, they would be interested in that. Instead, the front page of the New York Times says it's not enough. An undocumented immigrant and mother of three in the Bronx scrapes by on only $100 a week in one of the richest cities. Oh, Well, maybe you could scrape by with more back in Honduras. Like, why is that our problem? You're an illegal immigrant into our country, and we have to go have a front page article dedicated to you. Meanwhile, our own citizens have their own personal income going down dramatically. Also on the front page of the New York Times, I read that so you don't have to. Morocco sends Spanish outpost a migrant influx. I just want to reiterate this. On Thursday, June 3rd, the New York Times does not mention Dr. Anthony Fauci's emails. The paper of record is what it's called. I want to make sure I'm right about this. I'm just going to do another gloss over. Nope, not there. Nope, not there. Yep, not one mention. The New York Times, the largest paper in the country, does not mention Dr. Anthony Fauci, the number one story in the country. But it does mention that Andrew Cuomo is going to hold a $10,000 a plate fundraiser. Andrew Cuomo, I think, needs to raise some money to go settle some sexual harassment complaints. Let's go to Mark Meadows, friend of mine, a great man, Cut 48. Part of the troubling thing that we're seeing with these emails that are coming out, not only do they correspond with President Trump said, but also Mike Pompeo. You'll see for yourself. Cut 48.
Part of the troubling thing that we're seeing with these emails that are coming out is not only do they seem to correspond with what President Trump said and what Secretary Pompeo said in terms of the origins of the virus, but it indicates that Dr. Fauci had knowledge or at least a suspicion of things not happening in an evolutionary manner very early on. And he didn't share that with the task force. That's very troubling and something that we do need to get to the bottom of.
Why was he on the task force? Mark, you're a friend of mine. Why was he around? You allow a serpent into your ranks, they're going to bite you. You know, one of my favorite things that Donald Trump used to do. Can we actually get the, you know what I'm talking about. You see, this is why we got the greatest team of broadcasting. It's this telekinesis we have going on. I don't even have to say it. He knows exactly what I'm saying. Donald Trump used to have this poem he would read at his rallies about, was it the snake? It's this beautiful poem. And he would say, oh, I brought in this snake. It was cold. It was wonderful. And the snake bites you. You say, why'd you do that? Well, I'm a snake. That's what we do. It's a good lesson for all of you. You got a serpent in your life. You better cut it out. And you know exactly what that is. Treachery. Deceit. Ladder climbing, power for power's sake, power not as a means, but power as an end. You knew I was a snake before you took me in. Dr. Fauci is a snake. You do not run a bureaucracy at age 80 years old without knowing how to dispose of secrets, cover up for them, and engage in institutional treachery. Let me say that again. Institutional treachery. Martha McCallum, a friend of mine, she's terrific. She had a great piece of television where she pushed back on the NIH chief, denying he rejected the lab leak theory. It's cut 44. Play tape.
I think the biggest question that people have right now is why it seems like you and Dr. Fauci both jumped to the conclusion very early on that any explanation of this that could be a lab leak was something that we were all waved off of. Why were we waved off of that so early on when we're now being told that we don't know and that we should do a thorough investigation of exactly that?
Martha, I deny that you were waved off of that by me.
He's just lying. You deserve better than this fool. What's his name? Whatever he is, this guy could not run a hot dog stand at Comiskey Park, which doesn't exist anymore. He wouldn't be able to sweep the floors of Madison Square Garden, Francis Collins. Our country deserves so much better than these civil service bureaucrats. Never created a thing of value in his life. It's a college professor that all of a sudden runs the entire public health direction of our country. And now we have basically realized if you run public health, you basically run the entire planet. If you run public health, you could shut down businesses, churches. You can inject things into people against their will. What a useless bureaucracy that entire operation is. So there's more questions than there are answers. And of course, the other question is, why is it that Dr. Fauci continues to pander to China? Let's go to cut 33. Fauci refuses to go after China for destroying evidence and refusing to cooperate with investigators. Before I play that tape, do you remember when we tore our country apart? We had to go through the ridiculous charade of the Mueller investigation. Do you remember when we were actually worried about foreign interference in our country? Of course, there was no evidence to actually show it, that we were supposed to be worried about foreign governments influencing our decisions. Well, now we know that's happening. We know that Dr. Fauci had correspondence with the Chinese public health officials. We have emails of that. Yet the New York Times has no such concern for that. Instead, they're talking about how Coach K is retiring and whatever this other racial thing is. Play Dr. Fauci.
I mean, obviously you want openness and cooperation. One of the ways you can get it is don't be accusatory. I think the accusatory part about it is only going to get them to pull back even more.
Don't be accusatory. I mean, come on. The Japanese only bombed Pearl Harbor. It's not like they killed all our citizens. People like Dr. Fauci and Francis Collins are at direct odds and war, dare I say, to the greatest generation. We deserve so much better. Our people, you listening to this right now, you are so much better than these people. And our leaders, these elites, they are disgusting. There's got to be something done against them sometime soon. How did you choose which internet service provider to use? The sad thing is most of us have very little choice because ISPs operate like monopolies in the regions they serve. Then they use this monopoly power to take advantage of customers. Data caps, streaming throttles, the list goes on. But worst of all, many ISPs log your internet activity and sell that data onto other big tech companies or advertisers. To prevent ISPs from seeing my internet activity, I protect all my devices with ExpressVPN. So what is ExpressVPN? It's a simple app for your computer or smartphone that encrypts all your network data and tunnels it through a secure VPN server so that your ISP cannot see your identity. That's the reason I recommend ExpressVPN as the best way to hide your online activity from your ISP. Just download the app, tap one button, and your device, and you're protected. And ExpressVPN does all this without slowing down your connection. That's why it's rated the number one VPN service by CNET and Wired. So stop handing over your personal data to ISPs and other tech giants who mine your activity and sell off your information. Protect yourself with the VPN I trust to keep me private online. Visit expressvpn.com/Charlie. That's expressvpn.com/Charlie to get 3 extra months free. Go to expressvpn.com/Charlie right now to learn more. So we got this question here, which I really appreciate and I enjoy, which is Terry, who says, Charlie, I always love your show. I wrote a year ago that Fauci was a plant. Your show today made me proud. Well, you should be proud, Terry. He was a plant. He was a plant by the Democrat Party and by the globalists to try to infiltrate Donald Trump's presidency with the only issue that could disarm us. No other plant would have been taking it seriously as a plant of public health. And since we've had a decline of science in our country over the last 10 years, we didn't really know how to deal with Dr. Fauci. You see, Dr. Fauci, we joke around, we say that he's Saint Fauci and Lord Fauci, but he sort of does have a religious undertone to him. He sort of has a, you're not allowed to question me, sit down and obey. There's almost this, I am the divine and you are not. Because if you dare question Dr. Fauci, he would just argue using logical fallacy from authority, saying that, well, I know this better than you do. I know it because I am a public health official and you are not. And so we have these emails that show that Dr. Fauci should be criminally investigated. He lied multiple times. He lied to you. He lied to me. He lied to the public. He lied to Donald Trump. He agreed with New York Times reporters that insulted American citizens and praised Chinese. He talked at length with Chinese government officials. He talked privately about how masks were highly ineffective and that you shouldn't use them. Dr. Fauci talked at length with Bill Gates, and why he talked with Bill Gates, I don't quite know, but I have some ideas. Why does Bill Gates have so much power in our country? Is that a good thing? Do you think the founding fathers of this greatest document ever written in the political document, ever written in the history of the world, that is centered around consent, which means permission? You can't do something unless I give you permission. Decentralization, check and balance, meaning that we're not going to have too much power in one person's hand. So here's a very good question as I explore this idea of checks and balances with you. What is the check and balance against Dr. Fauci? What is the check and balance against Bill Gates? So, for example, here is what our check and balance against Nancy Pelosi is. She will not be Speaker of the House in 2023. Here's what our check and balance is against Donald Trump. They impeached him twice and they constantly held him in investigations. What is the check and balance against Dr. Fauci? Now, you might say, well, it's all the different congressional hearings we had with Dr. Fauci. But Dr. Fauci, being a clever, amoral, treacherous, deceitful bureaucrat, he knows how to navigate Congress. That's why they put him there. You see, the skill set that Dr. Anthony Fauci has is one of a serpent. It's cunning. It's how to be two-faced, say one thing and do another. You see, Dr. Fauci is not an ethical man. You could see here that he was lying. He was receiving information about the bioengineered virus. He very well could have called it for what it was. And maybe we would have had some sort of national unity against holding the Chinese Communist Party accountable and the evil, immoral Chinese Communist Party government. But instead, we have waited till now when we now have a Chinese Communist Party plant as president, Joe Biden, who is an employee or a subcontractor of the Chinese Communist Party because his son, Hunter Biden, is largely funded by them. But the skill set that Dr. Fauci has is not one that allows us to check and balance him. And then what's our check and balance against Bill Gates? And Bill Gates is someone that really is a trickster. Bill Gates is a guy you got to watch out for. You see, Bill Gates is a guy that has a lot of money and no purpose. That's a really dangerous person. Let me say that again. When someone has a lot of money and no purpose, you got to watch out for that. That is an autocrat in the making. So when someone has a ton of resources and they're not really sure what to do with it, they're going to start to try to impose you. Because the power kick that supersedes all, that transcends all, I should say, the power high that is greater than all others is the one where people are able to say, I control you. It's power for power's sake. It's not art. It's not yachts. It's not traveling. It's not beauty. It's not wine. It's not food. The common denominator is a lust for people that have money to want to convert that money into having a boot on your neck. The pattern that manifests and replicates itself throughout history is people that want to say, I'm in charge of you. Now, that's a sadistic way to live your life, by the way. But that's exactly what Bill Gates' motivation is. That's what Dr. Fauci's motivation is. They don't want to go back to a place where we have self-government, which is an attribute of our constitutional republic. And what is self-government, by the way? Self-government is first and foremost, you control yourself. You got to act ethically. You have to use liberty to pursue virtue. Not that you are, that the government is yourself. That is semantically wrong or technically wrong. And so we now have this situation where we are being governed by a globalist billionaire, $150 billion is his net worth. And a self-righteous bureaucrat who has a skill for treachery. You must ask yourself this question. If someone has a skill of treachery, they shouldn't be in charge. That's probably not the type of person that we want running our public health department. Now, will Dr. Fauci ever be held accountable? He'll probably be let out to pasture pretty soon. He'll probably be dismissed because they want to make an example out of him, and he's probably become a threat, especially with this leak and these emails. But he'll just be replaced. And until we actually hold the federal bureaucracy, which is the factory that creates Fauci's, this problem will never actually be solved. Let's play some tape here. Let's go to Cut 38 on how CNN covered the Fauci emails. Cut 38.
Here's how CNN covered the emails today. Quote, thousands of emails from and to Dr. Fauci revealed the weight that came with his role as a rare source of frank honesty within the Trump administration's COVID-19 task force.
CNN is trying to save the reputation of Dr. Fauci. And CNN, heavily subsidized by AT&T and others. It's hard to believe, it's hard to see how they keep on going. Remember when Rand Paul was ridiculed for questioning Fauci on March 18th? If masking was just theater for people who have immunity? Now, on this program, we've been asking since the very beginning, under massive amount of ridicule from the activist press, who have never done an ounce of honest journalism in their life because they're ideologues and they want to see their own vision of a destroyed America be advanced. For the point that we actually questioned this idea of masking and mass inoculation. We asked the question, what are the downsides to masks? What about the dehumanization, making people unfamiliar with one another? But instead, Dr. Fauci, he knew masks didn't work. He said it in his email. Yet he still wanted people to mask up. Play cut 39.
You're telling everybody to wear a mask, whether they've had an infection or a vaccine. What I'm saying is they have immunity and everybody agrees they have immunity. What studies do you have that people that have had the vaccine or have had the infection are spreading the infection? If we're not spreading the infection, isn't it just theater?
No, it's not.
The vaccine and you're wearing two masks. Isn't that theater?
No, that's not. Here we go again with the theater. Let me just state for the record that masks are not theater. Masks are protective. And we
have immunity there, theater. If you already have immunity, you're wearing a mask to give comfort to others. You're not wearing a mask because of any sign.
I totally disagree with you.
Rand Paul is actually a doctor. Rand Paul goes to Haiti in his spare time to restore sight to poor children. Rand Paul's a great guy, and he's a friend of this program. And he's one of my favorite senators. We actually said this last night with Alex Marlowe at dinner. I love Rand Paul because he hates being a senator. That's why I like Rand Paul. He just can't stand the U.S. Senate, which I just love. Everything about the whole theater of how they just destroy our country, and they do so with a smile and a grin, pandering to the corporate class. I just can't stand anything about it. I just love how Rand Paul just is direct, precise, honest, and courageous. Just love it. And there's other great senators too. Senator Cruz is awesome. He speaks a lot of our events. Senator Hawley. So we just had Senator Lee on our podcast. But there's just something grumpy about Rand Paul that I love. I love how he's always just in a bad mood when he's talking to these bureaucrats, because I feel it. No, don't give Dr. Fauci the respect he has not earned. So a lot of people are emailing us, and I want to get into this question in the next segment around school boards, critical race theory, and what we can do about that. And this all kind of ties together with Dr. Fauci mass mandating masks and vaccinations, and how so many school boards are now still following the advice from the Center for Disease Control and NIH and NIAID of Dr. Fauci being the chief communication of that. There's one mother in Rhode Island who is facing a lawsuit, or could, because she's just asking for answers on critical race theory curriculum in her elementary school. Now, I do want to say something. I have seen positive movement in the last 6 months on the critical race theory issue. This is an issue that I think people have started to take seriously. And we've taken this. The first time we started talking about critical race theory was 2 weeks after George Floyd. Last summer, we started to take critical race theory from the moment it started to rear its evil and immoral head. And many of your children are learning this. Many of your children are being taught these insidious and corrosive ideas. But there is momentum to push back against it. But they're going to try to reframe critical race theory in other ways. And the lieutenant governor of Idaho is now pushing back against this publicly. The governor of Oklahoma has banned critical race theory. Ron DeSantis has banned critical race theory. But it's going to come up in a different form. They're going to describe it differently, and they're going to try to implement it. But whether it be requiring your child to wear a mask or pushing forward critical race theory, the education of your children is really what's going to determine, obviously, their future, but also the future of our republic. Look, let me tell you about Tommy John. I was a skeptic at first, and then they sent me Tommy John, which is underwear, and it's beyond comfortable. It actually makes you think more clearly, so you could do everything better. That's why Tommy John doesn't have customers. They have fanatics. I mean, these people come up to me. They say, oh, my goodness, I hear that you do Tommy John underwear. It's one of life's greatest inventions. Now, that might be true, but who knows? With dozens of comfort innovations, once you've tried Tommy John underwear, you're never going back. It's like the converted. It's unbelievable, actually. With over 13 million pairs of Tommy John underwear sold, people across America are just saying, thank you. I can think clearly now. No more of the nonsense of bad underwear. Tommy John is the way to live your life. So look, maybe you're a skeptic like I was, and maybe you're okay with whatever you're wearing. Or maybe you say, I want to reach new heights. I want to climb the mountain. I want a summer where I can breathe freely. Well, if that's you, and you want to reach to the highest levels of existence that one can have when it comes to underwear, maybe it's TommyJohn.com/freedom. And now again, maybe you're saying, I don't believe you. Well, when you feel it, you might get to another level of enlightenment. And it's 20% off your first order of underwear and loungewear at TommyJohn.com/freedom. It's TommyJohn.com/freedom for more information. Climb the mountain, seize the day, carpe that DM, TommyJohn.com/freedom. It's actually miraculous how long our republic has been able to last. You see, republics tend to be very fragile. We've talked about what a republic is. A republic is a system of government that recognizes non-negotiable truths, that disperses power over space and time, that has a process intentionally slow to get something done. It has a check and balance mechanism. Montesquieu and Cicero, Cicero being a one-year Roman consul who was actually killed, literally at his estate, they chopped off his head. He was a best-selling author and, quite honestly, one of the architects of Western society. The left hates anytime you mention Cicero, so I encourage all of you to read about him. They talked a lot about how a republic is necessary. It is the greatest framework to protect natural rights, but it's fragile. And one of the reasons why the Constitution and why our system has been able to last so long is because we do have that through line of we might disagree, but we can agree on the Bill of Rights. Now, the Bill of Rights is a very interesting part of the U.S. Constitution because it actually is separate. Many people do not know that the Bill of Rights was added 4 years after the U.S. Constitution was ratified. So in the lead up to the United States Constitution, the Constitutional Convention, in the summer of 1787, the Federalist Papers, Anti-Federalist Papers were authored. They were writing back and forth, and it was Hamilton and Madison writing for the Federalist Papers, Jefferson mostly for the Anti-Federalist Papers, amongst other Anti-Federalists. Federalists obviously won. September 17th, 1787. Was it 17th? I think that's right, right? 17th? Yeah, that sounds right. You can double check. I think, yeah, that's right. September 17th, 1787, they ratified the Constitution, but then George Mason said, hey, Virginia's only going to approve this if we also get a Bill of Rights like we have in Virginia. God bless George Mason. He's one of my favorite founders that everyone should be aware of. Now, you have to understand this. And one of my very good friends who messages me throughout the show, very wise guy, seriously, he made such a great point, which is critical race theory is at war with the U.S. Constitution. And that's so well put. When you think about it, what critical race theory really aims to destroy is the through line and the ethos of the Bill of Rights and natural God-granted rights. So let me just prove it to you. The U.S. Constitution, well, first, let me go a step back. I'm a believer that the Declaration and the Constitution are tied together. They are married together. Not everyone has this belief, and many of your professors in college will not agree with this. I'm with Harry Jaffa and Dr. Larry Arne that believe that there is a divine connection between the truths of the Declaration and the truths of the U.S. Constitution. So let's start with this beautiful document I have here, which is one of the reasons I'm able to even to say what I'm saying right now. It says it has the Declaration. Oh, no, it only has the Constitution. Got it. And so we, the people of the United States, let's just stop there. Do you notice there's no race mentioned? Do you notice that it doesn't say we the black people or we the white people? It just says we the people. Right there, those first three words, critical race theorists hate that. They don't like that. They don't like the fact that people is a racial statement. They want an adjective in front of people of the United States. Now, that's very important. That establishes sovereignty. That establishes limitations. That establishes that it's not we the people of Nicaragua or we the people of Iraq. No, that as far as we have borders and boundaries, this is how we are going to govern ourselves. So then it frames the who. It frames the how far reaching is this document. And then it goes to continue. What is the mission? What are we trying to do here in order to form a more perfect union? Now, what's really amazing is they never say to form a perfect union. This is a rejection of utopia, that we're not going to actually ever live on heaven and earth, but we want to get as close as we can to harmony. Establish justice with a capital J. Now, what was their definition of justice, the founders' definition of justice? Getting what you deserve. Not the definition of justice of the critical race theorists. Ensure domestic tranquility. I'm going to do an entire podcast on ensuring domestic tranquility because there was so much written about that. But what it really was the domestic tranquility. You have to understand the history of what this was written. This was during a time of a lot of different insurrections, actual insurrections happening in the U.S. I think it was Shay's Rebellion, wasn't it? And the Articles of Confederation had no such process to be able to ensure domestic tranquility. Provide for the common defense. Promote the general welfare. Does that mean that everyone gets stuff? No. It means that what is best for people is to allow them to pursue virtue and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. Do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America. That paragraph is as true today as it was in September of 1787. Why? It's because it's written around eternal truth. Things that do not change. You see, the founders wrote this document around human nature. What we know to be true in the DNA, the predictable patterns of our country. Now, that is at odds with the critical race theorists. The critical race theorists do not believe that we the people, they'd say, no. We the oppressed. We the black people. We the Hispanic X, Latinx people, in order to form a more perfect union. No. It would be to crush our current oppressors, not establish justice. It would be establish racial justice. It wouldn't be ensuring domestic tranquility. It would say burn till we get what we want. It wouldn't be to provide for the common defense. It would be to provide for any sort of satisfaction that whatever identity politic group we demand or demands what they get. And it wouldn't be blessings of liberty. It would be instead the highs of pleasure. And so one mother, a Rhode Island mother by the name of Nicole, her name is Nicole Solas, S-O-L-A-S. She has recently spoke out against critical race theory. And I just want, and we're on this program, we're going to keep on diving deep into this of how the Constitution is at war with critical race theory. That is the struggle right now. The truths of the Constitution, of the Bill of Rights, what Dr. Martin Luther King called the promissory note, what Frederick Douglass, a freed slave, said is the most beautiful political document ever written. Now, Frederick Douglass is a very interesting person. If you want to shut up a leftist, ask them about Frederick Douglass. A black man, a Christian, a former slave from Maryland who ended up fighting for the Union cause, enlisting black soldiers, who was a friend of Abraham Lincoln, wrote extensively about how the U.S. Constitution is the greatest document for the black cause ever written. It's a pretty powerful statement. So Nicole Solas from Rhode Island, God bless her, what a difficult state that is. I've spoke there before at Brown University. She has come out and she has said that she wants more information about the critical race theory curriculum that is being taught to her kids. She said, quote, I was told that students refrain from using gender terminology in general terms of anti-racism. I was told that kids in kindergarten are asked what could have been done differently at Thanksgiving. And this struck me as a way to shame children for their American heritage. God bless you. And what's so ironic is that Rhode Island was actually one of the centerpieces of the American founding. That in Rhode Island, Brown University itself was founded as a Christian school, an outpost to teach people self-governance and the pursuit of virtue. Listen to Nicole Solas talk about her fight and that she actually might come under a lawsuit for this. Play tape.
And so I started submitting my questions in the form of public records requests. It didn't seem to be a problem. The school district was complying within the statutory time period to give me my documents. Now
and they're meeting tonight to determine if they're going to sue you?
Correct. So I'm doing what they told me to do. And now they're having a meeting.
You're a taxpayer. You're just trying to get some answers.
Exactly.
So she might be sued for just asking questions. Nicole Solas is from Rhode Island, as I mentioned. And the critical race theory curriculum is within her daughter's school. And that school, I want to get the name of the school if we can find that, Connor. Make sure I get that. Is now threatening a lawsuit against her. Solas was advised by the school district, I'm reading from FoxNews.com, to submit a public records request through the Access to Public Records Act. Upon receiving some information, Solas said, quote, she did not see any evidence of gender theory or anti-racism, but she knew that it was being taught to students. She continued to use the APRA request system, FOIA, we talked about this, to seek answers to get more of her questions. Quote, I have a lot of questions. I'm asking them. I wish that my questions would have been answered without having to do it this way. But they told me to do it their own questions. Solas said the school district was scheduled to meet about possible legal action over her. That's right. They might sue her to block her request to find out whether or not critical race theory is being taught. If the people teaching your children do so in the shadows, if they do so in darkness, if they do so in the cover of the night, and they're afraid to disclose what they're doing, they're likely doing something treacherous. They're likely doing something harmful. You see, teachers should be unafraid to show, brag, and disclose what they're teaching your children. You see, here on this program, we want as many people as possible to watch us. We believe what we're talking about here is good and true and beautiful and something worthy of hopefully the American population of learning and spreading for themselves. But when a school district starts to fight back against that, it just begs the question that Nicole Solas is asking at South Kingston School District, where she filed 200 requests for public records over how race and gender issues are being integrated in classroom curriculums. I want to say, Nicole Solas, you are an American hero. Thank you. You don't have to be doing this. This is exactly what we talked about in our podcast episode, The Summer of Victory. If every mother did what this mother did and flooded these school districts with FOIA requests, the revelations and the information that would follow could turn this country and change the trajectory for the better. What are we defending? We are defending a transcendent order. We are defending the Constitution of the United States. We are defending the Bill of Rights, that all men are created equal in the likeness of God. Email us your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com. There is a story I want to get to. We had some Turning Point USA students that wanted to start a group at Glenbrook South High School. Glenbrook South is a very affluent area. I went to Wheeling High School right down the street. We had the group started and we sent them a kit. We sent them a kit full of posters and materials. And so we sent them this sticker that says China Kinda Sus, S-U-S, with the Chinese Communist Party logo. Now, after a year where over 400,000 Americans died from the epidemiological Pearl Harbor that was manufactured likely in a Wuhan Institute of Virology and they covered up about it and they lied about it, you would think that there would be widespread agreement to have American students be able to criticize our greatest enemy, the Chinese Communist Party, that stole their school sports away, that stole their prom, that stole their graduation. But no, instead, the upper middle class, white, self-hating liberals from Glenbrook South High School in Glenview attacked our Turning Point USA kids and called them racist. It was a huge story all throughout the suburbs. And I've been wanting to cover this for a while. This loser, State Representative Jennifer Gong Gershowitz, who's the grandchild of Chinese immigrants and has a child who attends Glenbrook South, says she takes great offense. Quote, the clear intent was to stoke xenophobic and anti-Asian sentiment. No, it wasn't. It was to say that the Chinese Communist Party and their Marxist totalitarian ways do indeed suck. They are not in alignment with our values. Gong Gershowitz said, we expressed our conviction that this racist, harmful sort of content must not be permitted. All the while, they're allowing critical race theory, of course. At a time when anti-Asian racism and hate crimes are being committed at disturbing frequency, we must come together as a community in support of the values outlined in the Glenbrook South mission statement. So I want to meet these Turning Point USA Glenbrook South kids. Next time I'm in Chicago, I want to meet with them. They're going through absolute heck. The chapters basically has to fold. The Southern Poverty Law Center has gotten involved. I mean, it's so disgusting. I mean, could you imagine us trying to fight the Japanese right now? Of course, it wouldn't happen. Could you imagine trying to fight the Japanese after Pearl Harbor? Then these students, who of course are being misled by their leaders, says, we demand a public apology from the Glenbrook South administration and TPUSA directed the communities. You're not getting an apology. And what is this? Some sort of extortion attempt? Communities affected by this message. What do you mean communities affected by this message? You guys are pro the Chinese Communist Party? Is that the Glenbrook South position? That you guys are pro Muslims in concentration camps? They lost their sponsor, of course, because teachers generally have no backbone, as well as in an informative education open to all students regarding Asian hate and the effect of ignorance and insensitivity. Stuns me. You now get in trouble if you love your country in high school. Let me say that again. You are in trouble if you love your country and you want to hold authoritarian regimes accountable. We'd like the Turning Point USA students and student activities boards to be held accountable. Lastly, Glenbrook South should set a policy to prevent future mistakes. This was a sticker, let me say this again, that had the Chinese Communist Party hammer and sickle on it. And they lost their faculty sponsor. I want to meet these students because I know they've been through a lot. But this is what's happening. And guess what's so amazing? Almost no parents stood up for them. That's what's so incredible. I know some did, but not enough. And this became a big story in the Chicagoland area. We stand by them. It's just an absolute, it just maddens me to no end. I am not watching the NBA playoffs. Somebody had to remind me that they were on, but I am enjoying seeing bad people fail. I do enjoy that. I also enjoy seeing people that I think have decided to be at war with what it means to be a leader and a good athlete. So I'm a big Michael Jordan fan. I could speak extensively about Michael Jordan and why I think he was one of the greatest athletes ever. He also was committed to being not political because he was encouraged to intervene in a Senate race in North Carolina. And he decided not to because he said, quote, Republicans buy sneakers too. Deep down, I think Michael Jordan's actually super conservative, by the way. Deep down, I think Michael Jordan's like red-pilled beyond belief. I think Michael Jordan is deep down a MAGA guy. I really do. You know why? Because Michael Jordan does not put up with laziness. He doesn't put up with people wanting something for nothing. One of the greatest pieces of film ever created, I hate to say this because it's a Disney production, but it really is extraordinary, is The Last Dance. It is a beautiful narrative. Now, I'm a Chicago guy, and so I just love I actually just rewatched it for the third time. I get something out of it differently. It's sometimes about human psychology, sometimes about grit, perseverance. I mean, you got a team in one decade that goes 6-for-6 winning NBA finals. They don't lose a single NBA final when they get there. Pretty extraordinary. Michael Jordan, he demanded a lot out of his teammates. But after demanding a lot of his teammates, they always rose to the challenge because they knew that Michael Jordan demanded more out of himself than out of his teammates. Michael Jordan would never betray his teammates. Michael Jordan would look Dennis Rodman in the eye and he'd say, I need more out of you. And Rodman would listen because he knew Michael Jordan would be the first person in the gym the next day. And Michael Jordan would be there if it came to a brawl, if it came to him against Barkley, if it became him against Patrick Ewing, him against Magic Johnson, him against Larry Bird. He knew that Michael would have his back. Now, LeBron James is a petulant child, and he's not anywhere near what Michael Jordan ever was or ever will be. He's a highly political, very stupid, selfish, narcissistic sociopath with an above average ability to play basketball. But I actually think it's largely overrated. I think LeBron James is the most overrated player, largely because people don't play defense anymore. There used to be this, I think, love of the defensive player. Dennis Rodman was one of the greatest defensive players. Dieke Mutombo was a great defensive player. I don't know that many NBA players anymore. I know the white guy that plays for Dallas, Luka. He's kind of fun to watch, but I don't watch it anymore. So that's the whole thing. Now, you might remember 25 years ago, Scottie Pippen benched himself with 1.8 seconds left in a playoff game, and it became the number one news story in the world, a controversy that Scottie Pippen was giving up on his team. Well, last night, LeBron James literally left the court with 6 minutes left. I'm sorry, 5 minutes left in the game. Just left his teammates. Went back to the locker room. Just gone. LeBron James, because they were falling 115-85 to the Phoenix Suns. The Phoenix Suns are good? Are they really good? Well, 5:43 left. Wow, they were getting blown out. Good. This is awesome. Oh, that is so fun. This is the first time I'm seeing this. What a freaking loser. And you know what? I love all of it because that's exactly who we knew LeBron James always was. He has no character. He has no courage. And it's not the first time he's done this either. Because it's all about LeBron James. And he will never actually be a champion. Here's a fun fact for you. At least it used to be true up until last year. That LeBron James lost more finals than he won. I think that's still true. But he has lost a lot of finals. Michael Jordan never lost a final. And you know what? I can't think of one awesome moment that LeBron James ever had. He always had really good supporting cast. He went down to Miami because he couldn't win by himself at Cleveland. And by the way, I was, for a moment, a big LeBron James fan when he went back to Cleveland. And he had this big comeback and he was all pro Cleveland. I actually think that's when he had his life together. Then he betrayed him and went to Los Angeles and he became hyper-political. But he actually played with Chris Bosh and Dwayne Wade. LeBron James will never be Michael Jordan. He is not someone that you should look up to. It's one of the reasons why the National Basketball Association is failing. Last time he did this was Game 3 of the Finals in 2020. It's a pattern for him. It's all about LeBron James, not about the team. But I hope the Phoenix Suns blow the Lakers out in historic fashion because LeBron James deserves it. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com. If you'd like to support our program, go to charliekirk.com/support. God bless you guys. Speak to you soon.